now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is Times of Restitution. The only hope for this fear-filled world is to be found in the promises of God's Word. May I read? They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. These are the words of the prophet Isaiah. And my question to you is, what do they mean? These programs are dedicated to the promotion of Christian knowledge. They are brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups, and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, just when and where will this prophecy that I have read to you be fulfilled? I've heard people speak of heaven on earth. Perhaps that's what the prophet Isaiah is describing here.
You might put it that way if you wish. In reality, this is only one of a great many prophecies to be found in both the Old and New Testaments, which are descriptive of a period of reconstruction to be effected here on earth. This period is described by the Apostle Peter as times of restitution, and he tells us that it was foretold by the mouth of God's holy prophets since the world began.
When is this period of restoration due to begin, Ed? And what does it involve?
The Apostle Peter explains that it takes place in the second advent of Christ, and it involves restoration of the human race and giving to every individual an opportunity to live forever.
Well, I'll admit that's a wonderful prospect.
It surely is, and it is sure as the promises of God. In that booklet which I gave you some time ago, this promise recorded by Peter is discussed in detail. It reveals God's wonderful provision even for the millions who have died without a knowledge of God and those who, on account of the conflicting theories of men, have been confused concerning his provision of life through Christ.
You mean, I think, the little book entitled, What Can a Man Believe? Is that the one? But why the long interim of waiting since Christ died as man's Redeemer?
Well, during this period, the Lord has been selecting and training those who will be co-workers with him during the times of restitution. The Apostle John tells us that these are to be raised from the dead in the first resurrection, and that they will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years.
And it will be during that period of 1,000 years that God will show his favor toward the whole family of man.
Right, and just think of the tremendous changes that will mean in the experiences of the human race.
Well, give us an example of what you mean.
Well, take the experience which immediately preceded Peter's promise of the coming of the restoration. In God's providence and by divine power, he was instrumental in healing a man who had been lame from the time of his birth. The account tells us that this man, he leaped for joy. It was then that the apostle explained that following the second advent of Jesus, there would be a time of general restoration, or to use his own words, times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began.
Ed, are we to understand that the prophets of the Old Testament foretold a time when, for instance, all the lame would no longer be lame?
Yes, and more than that. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they foretold a time when all the blind eyes would be opened and all the deaf ears would be unstopped. I have it here marked in my Bible if you'd like to read it.
Thank you, Ed. I would like to read it. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Why, Ed, this is wonderful. But how can all that be? It would require miracles for promises such as these to come to pass.
Of course it would. The whole thesis of Christianity is based on the premise that miracle-working power is essential to accomplish what the Creator has promised to do for His human creation. When Jesus was on earth, God worked through Him to perform many miracles. He was raised from the dead by the greatest miracle of all time. Our approach to a proper understanding of the Bible must be from this standpoint. The promises of God will be nothing to us unless we can believe that He will use His almighty power to fulfill them.
In other words, when we read the Bible, it should be with the conviction that God will do everything He has promised to do, no matter how many miracles it may require.
Indeed, that's right, Russell.
I notice that the 8th verse of this same chapter that you asked me to read seems to be very interesting, too. Shall I read it?
You bet. That's the reason we're here, to study the Bible.
Thank you. Verse 8 of Isaiah 35 reads, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Ed, what is this highway that is promised here?
Well, Russell, roadways or highways are used in the Scriptures to symbolize progress toward God and righteousness, or a drifting away from God and into sin. In the latter sense, Jesus said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." But Jesus spoke of another way. It is commonly referred to by Christians as the narrow way. Jesus explained that this was a difficult way in which to walk, and that not many would be able to travel over it.
But Ed, this highway that is spoken of here by the prophet Isaiah seems to be pictured as an easy way in which to walk.
Quite true. You see, Isaiah is describing conditions as they will exist in the earth following the return of Christ, when the narrow way of the present age shall have been closed. Those who have walked faithfully in the narrow way will then be living and reigning with Christ. Then the knowledge of God's will and of His glory will be filling the earth.
I notice that in the last verse of the 35th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return with songs and everlasting joy upon their faces. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Who are the ransomed of the Lord that shall return?
Well, Russell, the ransomed of the Lord is the whole world of mankind, for Jesus dies to redeem all. Paul says that He, Jesus, gave Himself a ransom for all. Their return, or the ransom, is from the grave, from the sleep of death.
According to that, the promised times of restitution will benefit the dead as well as the living.
Oh, quite true. There will be no forgotten men in God's loving provision for the people. In view of His power to restore life, the living and the dead are all the same to Him.
No wonder the question is so often asked, "What can a man believe?" And that, by the way, is the title of the little book you handed to me a few moments ago, isn't it?
That's right, Russell. And now will you please tell our listeners about the booklet, "What Can a Man Believe?"
That will be a pleasure, Ed. The suggestion that God's mercy extends to sinners beyond the grave may be startling, but it is certainly good news if it is really true. What can a man believe proves from the Word of God that it is true. This was the testimony of God's holy prophets since the world began. It was the testimony of Peter and of Paul and of all the apostles. It was this great fact that enabled the angel who announced the birth of Christ to say that it meant glad tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people, because there was born in the city of David a Savior who was Christ the Lord. But I won't go into detail. This is only one of the great truths of the Bible, which is so understandingly discussed in What Can a Man Believe? So send now for your free copy and do it today. Address your request for this little book to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. May I repeat, address your request for What Can a Man Believe to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the Belief book, and it will be sent to you free by mail and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.